80% of high school students choose a college based on their friends. Don't let that be your student.
This is Cutthroat College Planning, where we tell you everything you need to know about life after high school.
Hey guys, and welcome back to Cutthroat College Planning. With me is Kayla Record. My name is Hector Lopez. We just did an amazing episode on the college application interview. Today, we're going to get into letters of recommendation, and you're probably saying, why are you doing a whole episode on just letters of recommendation? Like, why is a letter of recommendation worthy of a 15, 20, 30-minute conversation when it comes to my college application?
It's a really good question, and I'm sure, as Hector said, you're probably all thinking that. As a parent, this seems like a no-brainer, right? It seems very simple, quick, shouldn't have anything to talk about. But this whole episode is coming from my physical experience teaching students, and hundreds of them, and all of the challenges they have with this. And so this is to get you aware and also help you to prepare them better. Because students, surprisingly, this is their hardest section. They are terrified of this. So we'll get into why in a little bit, though.
Yeah, I can remember asking a few people. I think there was a coach, a teacher, just saying, hey, I'm trying to apply to this college. Will you write me an application? That was it. And they wrote me one. And the thing is, I don't think I even read them. I think I was like, this is good enough. Maybe I skimmed it a little bit to see if they were, you know, what words they would say, but it was pretty generic. It wasn't a very thought out process. And I was like, oh, it's just one thing to check off the list. It's really just up to them. It's up to whoever's writing it to be thorough, to be detailed, to make me look good. So it's one less thing I have to worry about when it comes to the application process. But you have brought it up that this is something that is also going to take some time and some effort into building out a strategy for letters of recommendation.
Yes, and it's something that you really do need to prepare for ahead of time, not the night before.
Yeah.
Or the day before.
Yeah. Yes. So let's just break it down. What is a letter of recommendation?
Well, LORs, right? Letters of recommendation. This is additional documents where somebody that is not related to you has an opportunity to write something amazing to help boost your application and really to build an idea or paint a better picture of who you are as a person and as a student and who you might be and how you're going to benefit them in the future should you be accepted.
So I think one of the most important parts of that definition is that it is a recommendation from someone.
Yes.
So there's a lot of ambiguity with that word.
But there is intentionally.
It seems like it can be anybody. And I think it's really important that it's a specific person.
Yes,
who is a good candidate for being that someone.
So there are different strategies. And in general, somebody that would be a great candidate, a teacher you really stood out with, or a teacher you struggled, right? And had to overcome a challenge or really worked very hard to accomplish in that class, something that would not have come easily, right? Your coaches, your administrative assistants that are on your coaching staff, anyone in your community, a pastor, somebody that knows you, somebody that has experienced you as someone that is engaging or can talk about your leadership, who you are, not just as academics. Because again, they can read what your academics are, what your grades are, right? So you need someone that's going to have more depth about you. Not from a family perspective, though, but you as a human and who you are as a virtue and an asset to be coming into that program should you get accepted.
So with your college prep bootcamp, shout out College Prep Bootcamp.
Yes.
If you're interested in having real time, one-on-one time with Kayla Record and getting yes. into the college you desire, sign up for College Prep Bootcamp today. All the links are below.
They are.
A little plug there. With your experience with College Prep Bootcamp and all the students that you've helped, what has been the weirdest letters of recommendation that you've experienced or one that you're like, I don't know how that's going to go, and then turned out being a great letter of recommendation?
I don't know. So weirdest, I think, are more so generic and ones that are just, I had so-and-so in my class. They, you know, were a good student. There's maybe three or four sentences about the kid, and that's it. There's really not anything else. I did have one, though, that was talking about a student. He was looking to get into a music theory program that was highly competitive. And one of the letters of recommendations was talking about being a beekeeper. So that stood out because it's a very different experience. But it also talked about how that student overcame challenges and, you know, was able to function under pressure very well, you know, and embraced that, like embraced the fear to take it on, to master something. And so that's one that has always stood out to me because it's really unique. But I think this is probably, and I know, well, it isn't probably, this is actually my favorite activity and class to teach with college prep. And I love to teach this with parents and with the students together.
Let's get into why this is so important to you. And this is your favorite part to teach, because you've mentioned a couple times before that letters of recommendation require strategy.
They do.
That makes no sense in my mind, because
why?
Because of my previous history with letters of recommendation, there's no need for a strategy.
Right.
So tell me why.
And, you know, as I was saying no with your example earlier, Hector, to your defense, you were exactly like pretty much 90% of what most students did and do. Right.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's a check mark. I've got to get it done. I'm going to find two teachers, you know, a principal, whatever, write a sentence or two. I'm not going to tell them anything. I'm just going to like wing it. And hopefully they say something great. Sure, they probably won't say anything bad. Who cares?
Here's the perspective that I got when I looked at my to-do list of things that I had to check off for an application.
Was this at the bottom?
There were essays. There were informational pieces. There were questions. There was letters of recommendation. And to me, the way I saw it was, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. Ooh, there's one thing I don't have to do. And it's write a letter of recommendation, because they get to do that. So gladly, I will text somebody, I will email someone in my school, and I will say, can you do this for me? Because I can do a quick little check off. You know, I sent it to them. They're going to get it done. And we're moving on. That's one less thing that me, myself, I have to do in order to apply for a college.
Let's pause and hear a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by the One Big Thing podcast. If you're in the thick of life as a parent or a spouse, and just trying to grow as a person, then you won't want to miss this show. Hosted by Steve Campbell, The One Big Thing is an interview-style podcast where he brings you guests from all walks of life. Picture professional athletes, influencers, business owners, and even some rockin' stay-at-home moms. Each episode will bring you as a listener a life hack or a way of looking at life that will help you move from inspiration to transformation. Listen to The One Big Thing podcast on all major podcast platforms today.
Well, I am glad that you were able to have the satisfaction of a check mark, like in your timeline there. However, most students are just like you. And no, you need a legitimate strategy. And by strategy, I'm meaning timeline. And I'll dig into in a moment what it looks like to develop the strategy, how you do it, right? But you need a strategy for one main point. One main reason is, and the most primary, most important thing is, you don't want everyone saying the same thing about you. You have missed an opportunity at that point. If you have no strategy, you have the same type of people saying the same exact thing about you, or worse, saying very little about you and not having any detail about who you are or being able to elaborate. That actually can hurt you, because it tells them, it tells the reader and the admissions that you haven't prepared. You don't know anyone else that can give you and highlight you better. And obviously that's the best foot forward that you could put. And that's not good either. You want to shine. You do not want to repeat the same, you know, Sarah was a soccer captain and, you know, they went to a championship and she was a great teammate. Okay. And like that doesn't tell
all the other 400 Sarahs in America.
Mm-hmm. And maybe even, you know, a Jill and a Caitlin and a Kim and any of the others, right? Fill in the blank. But I don't want to read two letters of recommendation saying the same exact thing. I want to know as much about this person as I can, and you're only giving me one dimension, which is just complete lack of preparation as a reader standpoint. And that's not the outcome that you want them taking that perspective away from. So, Hector, I'm just jumping right in. All right. Because I, like I said, this is my favorite. I love doing this. So how do you get a strategy? It's probably a decent question to ask right about now, right?
Yep.
All right. How do you get a strategy? Parents, students, listen up. If you have Post-its, grab some. It's really easy and it makes it more fun.
I'm going to stop you.
No.
Kayla loves Post-it notes. I don't know if we've had an episode that has mentioned Post-it notes. And actually, I don't know how we've gotten this far to episode. I think this might be 15 without mentioning Post-it notes, because Kayla lives off of and lives on Post-it notes. She lives for Post-it notes. Post-it, if you want to sponsor us, I promise you, your number one supporter is right here in front of me. She also has probably bought in the most...
Yes.
Post-it notes. Is bought in a word?
We'll
she,
use it.
She has bought we'll the most Post-it notes.
Yeah.
In the world. So
then we're talking thousands.
Yeah. I digress. Get back into it. Pull out your Post-it notes, because we're going to be talking about the building the strategy for your letters of recommendation.
Yes.
What's the first thing that we need to do?
All right. You have to involve parents. And parents, if you're the primary listener right now, you've got to involve the student. Vice versa. Make it an activity. Make it something fun, right? And by the way, don't do it the day before. Please start 6 weeks in advance. So first thing you're going to do, have your students sit down and make a list of up to five people they would consider for their letters of recommendation to ask who they think they should ask. While they're doing that, you're going to do the same thing. I recommend doing each person on a Post-it and then placing it up on a wall. First, when you do that, look and see, do you have anybody that's the same? Like, have you listed the same person? If you have, move it to the top, right? You should come up between 3 to 5 people that are the ones you think would be good letter of recommendation applicants, right? You're kind of like figuring this out.
Okay.
So
once you've come up with 3 to 5 people that overlap, so basically
stand out.
Yeah. Is you're saying that you both agree to a specific person that you think will do a really good job at writing a letter of recommendation. So that's a really cool way of doing that.
Yes. So then after that, take Post-its at the very top and write who, and then just put under, like, who is it? That's the name, right? Those names fall under that category. Leave a little bit of a space, move to the next side beside that, and write what. And you can even put, what have you done with them or for them, right? Where? This is going to location. Is it a boss? Where did you work with them? Like, where did you interact with them, right?
Yep.
Where do you know them from, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. When? That is the, like, when did you do something?
How long you've known them for?
Exactly. And the reason for the win also is keep it within a year of an interaction with you that you're going to highlight. Don't pull somebody from like ages ago that hasn't met and seen you excel in anything in the past, 4 years, right? Mm-hmm. Win. Keep it more relevant. This is to keep your focus onto like the last 12 months. Why? This is going to be where you're going to list out those why you think that person would be able to contribute something to you, or why that person made your list or made your short list. And then how did you interact with them?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Like, yeah.
How'd you stand out? What the heck did you do? Like, right?
Yeah. I think the how part is very, very important, because what we're going to get into next is talking about the different types of letters of recommendation, the different topics. Of letters of recommendation.
Or focuses. Like if you kind of just picture a Venn diagram in a sense, right?
Yep.
One section of it is going to be the leadership kind of side. And then, you're going to look at like the academic personal side, through stress adversity kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then your community side, that like in between. So it's kind of three different dynamics.
Hey guys, real quick, I want to thank you for listening to this episode. One of the ways that we grow the fastest is through word of mouth and reviews. If you find any value in this project, we suggest that you leave a review or share with another to help a student on their journey into life after high school. Thank you. Let's get back to the show. Yeah. And those are the three that you just gave for examples. But yes, if what you can do too is, depending on where you're going to school, you can figure out three things that you think would be a really cool aspect of your life for these people to highlight that relate back to that school specifically.
Oh, wait. So you have to look online and do your research ahead of time?
That seems to be a common theme in all of these episodes.
I think it is. Yes, you absolutely should do that. Look at their values. Do they have values written all over their page?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. So from that list of people, from those hows as to like how you know them, how you interact with them, you can then figure out what people or what, I guess, I'm just going to pause this. You can then figure out what people fit for the specific topic that you want them to write about, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes, you absolutely can. And so for me, I like to say that's kind of like the category label, right? And I put that on the far left side of my column next to the person. And then you can kind of look through it. So before I jump ahead and tell you how to do that part, I want the next step is the most crucial part. And I want to dig into that a little bit before we move forward. The next step, you've got your headers, right? You can do it on paper. Again, like I said, post-its are more fun and visual, and there's something to be said with getting you up and moving and blood flow. But with that, this is the part as a parent and as the student. You need to list as many things on your post-its for under each of those categories and do them silently and put them up and then talk about them. It is amazing to me. This is actually something I added into my curriculum for the college prep and college planning program. I added after the fact because I realized this was such a huge deficit in students' skill gaps. They lacked the self-esteem or the overall understanding of what their like impact or what they've done, how that matters or how to even talk about it, or they're very shy. They don't want to talk about themselves. They've been taught to be humble, not to brag. This is not the time to be humble in that aspect. Brag. This is the time to stand out. Don't go into the shadows. And it is amazing when you have a parent and a student, and the student usually gets embarrassed really because they'll sit back and eventually go, oh, stop saying that. Or, well, that wasn't that important. Or, you know, I hear the, no, I mean, I did do that, I guess. You know, I didn't think I should say that. And those are the times as the proud parents, you get to really highlight because you are the ones seeing the impact of your student and the way that they're interacting. And you're the ones that are understanding and have, you've got to help them make those connections. So it's the time to really shine and help your student learn how to shine for themselves too, and teaching them that. And like I said, this was something I added in after the first year of teaching this course several years ago, because it was something that was much like your experience, overlooked, underprepared, and not intentional, yet from the side of higher ed, something that's so significant and really weans students out.
Yeah, I think clearly we can all tell why this is your favorite part of the College Prep Bootcamp.
I love post-its.
One, you love post-its, so this involves many post-its. And two, you get to really brag on these students you get to work with.
You get to
really make them shine, and they have this opportunity to shine in front of all of these applicants, in front of the people reading their applications. They get to really be the person that they've been throughout their childhood and grow into that. So of course you're excited. Of course you love doing this with your students. And I think that's really awesome. I do want to before we move into like taking action, I want to just paint this picture because this is how I'm seeing it in my head. We went over this the other day. I am visual. I see things playing in my head. It's always a movie when someone's talking.
Me too.
We just had this conversation yesterday. Remember that?
Yeah, we did.
Maybe we'll talk about that.
We should.
On the podcast.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Ways that we listen and hear from people.
I think we should. That's a really good idea. Okay, side note.
Yeah, cool. Side note.
Good.
So I'm seeing this in my head, right? you're sitting down with a parent or you're sitting down with a child and you're coming up with names of people, and then you're talking about how they interact with the student or how they interact with you. And you have these three points that you want to make sure that people are emphasizing when they mm-hmm. write their letters of recommendation about you. One of them is maybe leadership focused. Yep. One of them is community focused. One of them yes. is academic focused, right?
Exactly.
So I'm going to pretend that I wrote down my coach. My mom also wrote down my coach.
Okay.
Well, they have seen me be a great captain and be a great leader.
Okay.
So that is a great candidate for the leadership recommendation.
It is.
Focused like recommendation, right?
Right.
And then maybe I also volunteered at my church, and every year we do this big thing in the park where we put on all these events and we give away so much food to the homeless, and that really shows my community aspect. We also wrote down a couple of pastors and friends from the church. So those people that we wrote down, that was a joint effort that you could see we both had a commonality in thinking of them, they could write toward the community focused letters of recommendation. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, you know, you see where I'm going with this, right? You can find someone that kind of speaks to the academic side of my life and has had an impact of the academics that I've had. Maybe it's a tutor or a teacher that was just really helpful for me because I was struggling, and they got my grades up. They helped me get my grades up, right? So what you're doing is you're finding these people that are catered to specific topics that you want them to write a letter of recommendation about. So yes. you're almost building a team.
You are.
Need your quarterback. You need your wide receiver. You need your running back. Well, who's the fastest? Who could throw the farthest? And who can, I don't even know what my other one was, running back, wide receiver, who can catch the best, right? So
right.
that's what you're essentially doing when building these yes. letter of recommendation strategies, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. That I think that's fun. Like, I love building teams. I love playing sports. So like, you're strategizing yes. and you can win. When you do it this way,
right.
you will win.
If you have a playbook.
If you have a playbook.
Yes.
That's what's next.
And the players on your team have the same playbook.
Ah.
There's your catch.
There's your catch. So now that we've built this
with
team,
our next section.
Yeah, now that we've built this team, what do we do next?
So next is to take those three major points for each of those top listed people, right? And create an email along with that bullet point, the three things in that email that you would love for them to highlight about you. You don't have to go into a specific detail, but the more that you can give them, talk about where you're applying for. And I've always recommended put the link to the school, the link to the homepage of the program you're looking at, right? Hyperlink it right in there so that it makes it so easy for them. But the more information you can give them about the guidance, right? You're giving them now the framework and the parameters of where they need to stay in the field to play, right? They have to be in bounds. They can't go running out of bounds. Here's your boundaries. So in that, in the email, not only are you going to tell them where you're applying, why you're reaching out to them, what you're wanting them to highlight about you.
Yeah, I want to know, go into that a little bit more, because personally I'm curious as to how yeah. you would ask a coach to talk about your leadership. Like, is it okay to straight up say, you've been someone I look up to, you've coached me for 5 or 6 years, I've been a captain on your team, could you possibly write a letter of recommendation on my leadership skills? Like, it's kind of awkward.
Yes, which is why students struggle or just avoid or don't do this, right?
Yeah.
So you would say it, you can say it just like that, because having been on the receiving end of someone that has had to not only read hundreds or thousands of these, I've also had to write them, and I have graciously written them for students. I love to write them when they've given me guidelines, right? I don't want to sit there and spend hours racking my brain again. I want to know, what focus do they want me to have? You can say, I'm applying to XYZ at this program. Here's the page I want to share with you too, if you want to get any more background. And, you know, over my time of, you know, you coaching and developing me, I would love to focus on highlighting some of the strengths or, you know, the times that I've taken initiative, because the program is really looking for applicants that highlight or excel in this area. You can say it to that effect too, and you can make it more of a rounded ask of, here's the top things the program is really looking for. And I would love it if you could highlight when, you know, we worked through this event or when I showed up early every day to, you know, make sure that the person that was struggling the most on the team had the practice and the skill development, you know, those kind of things. It's completely fine to give those details, because if you don't, you're allowing them so much room to paint the picture themselves. And if you're just saying, can you highlight my leadership skills? Or, you know, I liked working with you, you know, and I liked playing for you, right? Where do they go with that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So how many highlights per letter of recommendation do you suggest? And how long do you suggest to give these people to write the letters of recommendation?
A page or less. For the letter of recommendation is typically what it'll say, or okay, it'll say under 500 word count, that kind of thing. Keep in mind, your readers are going to have to read a lot. And I would say 3 to 4 major things about you if they can. 3 minimum, okay. 5 max.
Okay, so we'll just call those major things. We'll just call them highlights for the sake of simple terms.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm doing here is some math is, if you're applying to one school, they're asking for 3 separate letters of recommendation. You have an opportunity to highlight different topics about you, and it could be up to 9 highlights, 9 different features and cool moments about yourself to one school that will highlight you in a great way. And I think that's huge. That's a lot.
It is. And that you have not already included and illustrated through your narratives of your application.
That's important too.
Yes. Just keep in mind, every opportunity to highlight something new about you paints a larger picture of who you are and lets that program, the people reviewing you, decide, are you going to be a good fit, right? Are you right for us? Mm-hmm. And so the average, a lot of times they'll say 2 letters of recommendation. 3 has always been the max. I've never seen anything that's requested more than 3, and predominantly between 2 or 3. I like to have 3. That way you can pick and choose who you need to, you know, send it to if you want to.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
What's the timeline for these?
Oh, going back to strategy, being prepared. Yes. At least 6 weeks. I always say, get your stuff in order, go through the activity, right? Do the activity that we just talked about, and then allow 6 weeks, but give them the deadline of 3 to 4 weeks to write it. And at 2 weeks in, send a really quick, hey, just want to make sure, you know, you have everything. And if there's anything else I can provide you that might help you, keep in mind, I have my deadline on blah, 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 right? Yeah. Because you want to stay on them and you want to allow yourself that grace period, because the last thing you want is to be going back to somebody writing a letter of recommendation going, I need it tomorrow. I really didn't follow up with you. I figured you just had it, but now you forgot it. So now I need it. That's not going to be it's not going to make you shine, right?
Yep.
You don't want them writing it in the last hour.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's been one of our major points with this whole application, with everything that's coming to college in general, is give yourself enough time to do all of these things. Give yourself enough time to prepare ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Right? We want you to prepare and do your research, and also give yourself time to complete all the things that you need to do for this application, or all the things you need to do for the campus tours. Yes. It's going to take time. And that's why we talk to freshmen and sophomores.
It is.
Often, because it will take months to years to just prep and get your mind in the right place to be thinking about applying and going on campus tours and scholarships, right?
And so, positioning yourself for them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Can you guess what I'm going to say is the last part of your follow-up or strategy?
I can guess.
What is it?
I know what it is. I wonder if the people
I know
what it is, but it's definitely send a thank you note. Consistent.
That is. You got it. Send a thank you note to anyone that has written a letter of recommendation. The other is, if they have a choice and they have to submit or upload that letter of recommendation, and they have a checkbox that says, you know, do you want a copy or to review or allow viewing of that letter of recommendation, do not do that. That can wean you out significantly. So don't request a copy of it if it's supposed to be a blind letter of recommendation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So You've talked about the fact that kids have a hard time bragging about themselves. Students have a really hard time showing their greatest moments and writing them down and sending them into to these applications.
Yes.
What are some other things that you've noticed within this section specifically when it comes to letters of recommendation, just in your experience?
I would say students are always really surprised when people do write these letters of recommendation for them and if they have received a copy, because they don't realize and make the connection of what the value is of the things that they've done, that transferable skills, right? They don't have that connection. I have seen so many parents just with pride and tears when they've read the letters of recommendation about their student. And the student is completely every color and shade of red to purple to, you know, anything possible to show embarrassment. And the parent is just so proud. And, you know, it just, I think that's probably the largest area where you really have a chance to help your son or daughter to excel and to highlight themselves, but you really have to be prepared too.
Yeah, I think this is the part of the application where your parent or guardian is going to have the most influence.
Yes, absolutely.
So
100%.
If you're listening to this, this is where you can have the most influence, right? You can't write the essay. You can't fill out some of the other stuff. Mm-hmm. You can't choose the college you want to go to or the campus tour you want to go on. But what you can do is you can help out with the letters of recommendation, because you're going to be able to see things in your students and your children that they don't necessarily want to pull out of themselves, and they don't know how, and they're not confident enough to do that. So this is the part of the application series where the parents come in the most. And when I say parents, I mean any guardian, anyone helping out when it comes to this section.
Yes. And this is the part where the student often has gone through 3 or 4 years of school, right? They've done, you know, French club, science club, math club, whatever, right? You know, spelling bee recipient and champion. All these little things that they've done to them is little in their mind. And it's just part of the, like, the motion of moving through these 4 years in school. But as the parent, you understand the larger picture or the lessons they've learned. You have seen them grow. You've seen them change. You've seen them struggle. You're the one that has been there. The anyone who lives with the son or the daughter, right? Or lives with a kid, you have been there for those tearful nights. You have been there for those challenges. You've been there for those triumphs. Those are the ones you get to highlight. And those are the most common ones that students just overlook. They focus on the biggest thing, or they undersell themselves, or they oversell one aspect, meaning they ask everybody to talk about one thing.
One thing, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know my parents, they remember more my accolades than I do.
Yeah, exactly. Oftentimes, because they were there.
They embellish a little bit on the good side of all these accolades.
Well, I'm sure, and they should. All parents, but
they tend to bring some stuff up. My dad's always bringing stuff up about, remember that time you did this? I'm like, oh, I don't even remember that. How do you remember that? You know, it's just, they're proud parents, you know? I mean, I think that's part of it. That's why this part is so important for them.
It is. They're the ones that have sat there and sat for hours on cold bleachers, freezing their behinds off, right?
Of course they're going to remember it.
Exactly. Or sat in scorching hot 100 degree plus days waiting for 13 hours for you to go on for 3 minutes, you know?
And play your flute solo.
Yes. Or had the organizing chaos of trying to figure out how they're getting you to all these things.
Or paying for it all.
Paying for it, even better. Yes,
it's like, yeah, you did this many competitions. I remember the bill every year.
I remember sewing the outfits, the uniforms. I remember taking you in the middle of the winter in the rain. Like, yes, you guys are the ones with the true emotional impact of this, and traumatic. You understand the magnitude of how it's all come together and the culmination of the impact of how it's built your son or daughter up, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we don't want to leave you with just these concepts. We want to leave you with an actual practical takeaway resource. We've built the Letter of Recommendation Best Practice Worksheet for you that is available on our website right now, nqrmedia.com, along with the resource that we've been mentioning through this whole process. It is like our guiding star when talking about the application process, which is the application tracker. So the application tracker takes basically all of the episodes that we've been talking about, all of the concepts, all of the parts of the application, and it has sections on that tracker that you can fill out and make sure that you're not missing. So there's a section in there to actually add these letter of recommendations that people have given you so you don't lose any of this. So these are two huge resources.
Yes, to help you stay organized, to not miss timelines, and to really make sure that you have capitalized on every aspect of golden moment that you get to put together in this beautiful package of your application, right? To that college, university, or trade program, whatever it is, so that you have really sold yourself and who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. This has been a great episode. I didn't think there were this many strategies, this many ideas, this many thoughts about a letter of recommendation for college applications.
Yes. However, we didn't even use Post-its.
We didn't. I think we would still have an extra 30, 40 minutes on the clock if we had Post-its right now.
Yes.
But we talked about what a letter of recommendation was. We talked about who is a good candidate and some strategies for finding the good candidate. Mm-hmm. Hint, hint, use some Post-its along with someone who knows you really well to help you out with figuring out who the best person is.
Yes.
We've also given you some actionable items to draft an email that will help guide you as a student or a parent to lead those who are writing these letter of recommendations in the best way possible. So this was a great episode.
I think so.
I think this is might be top three episodes that we've done, just because, I don't know, you're building a team, and it's really cool to see that you can build a team to help provide a really cool resource for you to potentially get you into the college you desire. So feel free to reach out to Kayla and I. We would love to chat. We would love to see where you're at on your journey. We would love to answer some questions that you have for us. Also, we're going to be doing an Ask Me Anything episode coming up to hopefully ask and answer your questions that you have when it comes to college applications, when it comes to anything to do with college and getting into college and life after high school. So thank you, and we'll see you in the next one.
You know what? Before we see you in the next one, I want to throw in there, send me the pictures of your Post-it wall. I'd love to see them.
All right.
All right. Now we'll see you in the next one.
See you in the next one.
Thanks.